Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Stelly Efti. And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about imposter syndrome.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Yeah. And Heaton, you posted a GIF on our Facebook group, thestartupchat.com/FB, if you're not already part of the Facebook group, that kind of describe what the GIF shows, describe why you liked it, why you shared
you
it.
I go for it. Yeah, yeah.
So it basically is a little GIF that shows like, a baby, that somebody's life starting at the baby stage and thinking, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, tries to walk, and then it walks and it's like, I don't know what I'm fucking doing. And then it like goes through all stages in life, and at all stages, like in school, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. And then there's like married and children, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. It's just until death. It's like the entire life, they're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. It's really good. And this, the topic of imposter syndrome with founders has been kind of slightly on the up and up in sense of popularity. I've seen at least a few posts about this from founders over the last 2 or 3 years of founders like admitting that they have that and they feel like that. And it was also funny because there were instantly like 4 people that I shared the GIF with, and I was like, I thought about you when I saw this, right? And their response was really strong. So this seems to be such a universal thing. Yeah. And maybe it's just a human thing, but
a human thing.
In business, it seems, especially when you're the founder, it seems like your own expectation is one where you should know and feel like you know what you're doing, or other people seem to think you know what you're doing, but you secretly know that you don't.
Well, there's a difference between being ready, being prepared, and having a plan.
Mm.
So you can be prepared and not have a plan. So,
Tell me more.
So what I mean by that is like, you might, this relates to one of the things that's really interesting to me. It's like people say, oh, that's hard. Like, it's only hard because you haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
And so a subset of imposter syndrome is the fact that you think something's hard, right? It's like you verbalizing imposter syndrome. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's hard. I'm like, wait, hold on. Yeah, it's hard. It is always hard. Like, that's not going to change. That's why I love the thing. I'm like, yeah, just saying it's hard. Like, it's just hard. Yeah, I get it. Like, we don't know what we don't know, right? Like, and so, yeah, I guess my take on this whole thing is like, it's so natural. You have to get used to it. Especially if you're trying to like start stuff, grow stuff, scale stuff, the amount. I mean, this is why I tell people you should, or not tell people. I tell people what I do, which is listen to audio at 2x, right, or 3x, or whatever, depending on the tool, or videos on YouTube. And it's because I don't know what I don't know. But the more information I get, the more I can sort it out, right? Like, we're sorting machines, we're pattern matching machines, right? So I'm almost getting into my solutions, but it's like more information helps me, right?
So, okay. So I think there's a lot there, but I do think, and we can talk about this a little later, like more information sometimes makes people even feel more confused because there's a lot of conflicting information.
Absolutely.
I think to me, it seems like at the root of dealing with imposter syndrome is realizing that we all don't know what the fuck we're doing. So it's irrelevant.
Yeah,
so
the next person doesn't either.
Doesn't either.
Yeah, nobody.
Like another picture that you shared a few weeks back where it was like the only – oftentimes you think the grass is green on the other side because it's fake, right? And it appears to be better, but if you really knew, it's not. It's the and I have this appearance of it. Go to people's Facebook page, mine, yours, everyone's included. Yeah. Everyone lives amazing lives.
That's right. Yeah, sure.
Only on vacations, on stages, on like crushing it.
That's why we like to share that.
Right?
That's what people want to like.
It is a very filtered, curated version of our lives. It's not how we always feel. So it seems like everybody's life is amazing other than mine, but it's not.
And I can't believe we're just talking about a Facebook group.
There you go.
On top of all
that. There you go.
Anyway.
But I do think that it comes back to understanding that nobody really knows what they're doing. And the question is to, at varying degrees, how do you deal with that? And the same thing goes for, this is hard, right? So to me, it's hard means you don't know what the right solution is. But you need to make a decision anyways. And the struggle comes from the fear of choosing the wrong solution. Versus as a founder, one of the most important things you need to master is getting comfortable with making choices without knowing for certain that it's the right choice.
Yeah, that's going to work. Yeah.
Right? And fully committing to it. And if it's wrong, changing your mind about it. That is hard for people because when they fully commit to something, they don't want it to not work. And even if it's not working, they're going to oftentimes pretend it's still working because they are so attached to it.
Yeah, I remember this idea of what is it? Tight opinions, loosely held?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
same kind of thing. That. It's like, yeah, I have conviction on that. But if I learn something that tells me I'm wrong, I'm ready. I'm prepared to change my mind, right? Like, and I think there's been a lot of quotes and stuff about this, but they say some of the best, you know, founders, leaders, whatever, do change their minds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually have, oddly enough, confidence in them.
Yeah.
Right. Because everything's changing. Yeah. And so if they don't change their minds, then like they're stuck. And some things you might need to be principled on. Right. And I think part of the balance of this whole imposter syndrome thing is like, even back to what you said, it's like, what is right? Should I do it or not? And like all this other fog that kind of fogs you up, I think, when you let that thought get in your head that like, I don't know what I'm doing. Isn't that the whole point of life?
To not know what you're doing?
Yeah. Before you were crawling, did you even know walking existed?
No.
Right. But if you knew that, what would you do? Try to start walking without crawling, right?
Yeah.
It's just the way humans are. It's like, oh, I can go all the way over there. Let me go figure it out. And I think that's part of imposter syndrome, which is like, I see this thing I need to do, you know, like start a family, have some kids. It feels far away. There's people that I already know that have done it. And instantly you're like, oh, they're so ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, wait, like they might be older than you. They obviously have different circumstances than you. So it's like, it's almost like, I hate the waterfall of this concept and what happens that creates people, that causes paralysis.
It's the, I don't know what we're thinking in gifts and quotes for this episode, but it's the don't compare your beginning with somebody else's middle, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the other thing is like with this, I feel like, so a lot of this goes back to ego.
Yeah.
And an externalized vision of how others are and how others perceive you. So what you need to live up to in somebody's mind. And I think that authenticity can kill imposter syndrome. Like being comfortable with saying, I don't know, but looking at these three options because of reason X, Y, Z, let's do this option is different from saying, I need to pretend in front of everybody that I know which option is the right one.
Yeah.
And I need to pretend that I have knowledge and I need to pretend that I have conviction even if I'm doubtful at this moment.
So write your fears.
Write your fears.
Speak your fears. Like I'm only relating to that because like three times in the last like 3 weeks I had seasoned founders. So at least this is their second startup. I'm embarrassed if this fails. Three.
Yes.
Boom,
yes.
Boom, boom. I got them there for sure. I'm sure the conversation I was having led to it.
Yeah.
But I was not, they said this. Yeah. I didn't say it. I didn't tell them that. I didn't indicate that they were thinking that. I had already known they were thinking that.
Yeah.
Because their actions related to thinking that. Like they were just trying too hard, squeezing these things, looking at this thing, micromanaging this thing. And I'm like, why are you doing this stuff? Right? And then we kept digging. And then all of them. If this fails, I will be publicly embarrassed. That's not okay.
Yep. This is so powerful.
Right?
Yep.
And it's like, oh, thank you for saying, all three of them, thank you for verbalizing that.
Yeah.
Like just thank you for verbalizing that. But I'm not sure if they understand how much they gave me to actually help them. That's going to be painful.
So right? What did you do with that?
If everyone knows something around you and you're a CEO founder and you're not able to admit it yourself, that's a problem. That's imposter syndrome 101. Everyone knows you are going to be embarrassed if this thing fails, but you have not verbalized it to anybody yet. Mm. Wow. Like that leads to a certain dynamic in a culture, right? So people think they understand why you're doing something, but they think it's irrational. And then that just leads to all kinds of interesting issues. And so I think that's I'm seeing this over and over. And like the biggest thing is for that person to just admit it and admit it to somebody on the team in some level. Right. And then work their way through it. This is like admitting your fears, right? Writing out your fears. Like, what is it? It's okay if it's irrational. It's okay if it sounds petty.
Mm.
It's okay if it sounds egotistical. Who cares? It's the truth. Right. And then you can work your way around it and make it something productive.
To what degree is this kind of increased by the fact that when you run a startup or a new company, to a lot of degrees, a lot of people try constantly basically selling, many times, unfortunately, overselling how well everything is working, right? You're this constant PR machine that tries to tell the world how great things are.
You can't believe any of your own crap if that's what you're going to do. Like, right? So like either be authentic or learn to live that bifurcated world. The problem is like sometimes not sometimes, all the time you're living it bifurcated. It's just what percentage is in what direction. Yeah. So like when you speak, when you write, what percentage of your authenticity are you hiding? Right. Like that's one way to think about it. Right. And so sometimes you have to, like, I couldn't say everything I wanted to say when we had a lawsuit and I had a blog. I mean, I don't even want to talk about what I wanted to do and say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. Is that authentic? Yeah. It's as authentic as I could get.
Yeah.
Without legal implications and all kinds of issues that are no good that people suggested I don't do. Right. Like things like that. So I think that's where I go when I think about it like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I think that somewhat I relate this also to the episode that we recorded once about like real progress versus just being busy.
Motion versus progress?
Yes, motion versus progress. Yeah. Because a lot of times people will like focus so much on motion and they will be like, here's a new article about us. Here's this award that my startup got. Here's this. Here's
that shit gets old too.
Like, yeah. and they're like, it's basically communicating, we're succeeding, we're succeeding, we're succeeding.
Trying to create a reality distortion field.
Yes, yes. And then when you look failure in the face, you're like, oh shit.
I was wrong.
I can't now post all this was fake, or all this was irrelevant, or everybody in my environment thinks I'm crushing it and now I'm telling them we're bankrupt. Like that is, I think, where embarrassment. That where embarrassment is being.
But you're trying to prevent that. And I think people don't see how in the short term you can do those things. In the long term, you're gonna cause harm most likely to yourself and your ego and all these other things.
The people that work with you.
Yeah, all that.
Do you ever encounter this anymore where you're like, shit, I don't know what I'm doing and I feel guilt about it? Because that's really what imposter syndrome is. Not just I don't know what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm doing and I feel guilt about it. I feel like I should know what I'm doing. That's really the issue with that emotional state.
I think there's a lot of founders that feel like that all the time. And like I've talked to them and you can, you know, we had an episode on firefighting. Mm-hmm. It's so related to that. It's like if you feel like you don't know anything, you're just going to try to look for problems because that's the only thing you can do, right? Because you don't know what you don't know or you feel like that. So I think for me, it's like, I hate when founders get in that place where they get so stuck that they feel like they don't know what they don't know. It's like, no, like just think about it. I'm sure you can know it. Like what's important right now? Like, and it's really just breaking through those barriers of like all this cloudy stuff that's probably irrational and all around assumptions instead of getting to the point of, well, like, are you failing because you don't have a sales team? Is that really true? Right. Are you sure you don't know what to do? Like, yeah, it's your business. You got some traffic, got some users, got some customers. Like what's up? So I think it's just grounding is probably the best strategy if I were to give one on that situation.
Yeah. So was there a time where you struggled with this? Personally, like
all the time, if you're running a company, like you're letting down your team. Mm-hmm. It's easy to feel like that, regardless of what's happening, even if it's all good.
Yeah,
I'm letting them down because like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah,
it's all good. They're just being handled. Like, hold on. So I've had that too, just like kind of the opposite in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this feeling is like something you live with constantly if you're really trying to change things.
So,
just like this gift.
Just like this gift, this entire life, you're gonna live
with that. I don't know what I'm doing.
So see, one interesting thing is when you take that framework and you change it. So I think removing guilt, removing the thing is not, you don't want to stop thinking, I don't know what I'm doing.
Because get excited about learning what to do.
Yes.
Like, come on.
But you need to kill the guilt and the embarrassment part of that thinking. This reminds me of another thing. Like this is going to be the GIF and quote episode, but it reminds me of George Soros.
Yeah.
Right? A famous, one of the most famous, most wealthy traders, not value investors. And he was interviewed at Google once. They do these like Google author thingies. So it was interviewed by Eric Schmidt. And then in the Q&A section, somebody asked him something about some strategy or another, like on a high level. What really is it? He read all these books and was like, what really is your fucking strategy for all of this and to make this work? And his answer was, I'm just always wrong. I'm always wrong about everything. And all I do every day is I constantly try to correct my wrongs, right? It's such a beautiful framework. Another person, the huge hedge fund, not Blackwater, Black something.
BlackRock.
Yeah. No. It's another one. Well, whatever it is, it's the guy that wrote the principles. He wrote an ebook
on. I know what you're talking about.
Ray Dalio. Ray Dalio, and it's not Blackwater. It's something else. No. Those are all hedge funds. But Ray Dalio, we'll look it up with the power of the internet. But whatever. Ray Dalio, Bridgewater. There you go. Ray Dalio also said something that stayed with me for a long time. I don't know when. Again, in an interview, something. And he said to a very similar question, I just try to evolve.
Yeah.
I just always want to keep evolving as a human. I just want to keep evolving, right?
Whatever it takes.
And it's the same thing as saying, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but it's a complete different framework of looking at that. Like the George Soros is like, I'm wrong about everything. So every day, let me try to figure out why am I wrong and how to correct this a little bit. And the other guy is like, I'm not at the end of all I can be as a human. So how can I, right? Yeah. How can I get better? How can I evolve and change? And these two frameworks, they lack shame. They lack embarrassment. No judgment.
They lack judgment. That's why they're beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. Because probably they're
so basic, you know, and so many people might miss it.
Yeah. I think they lack, I think the, okay. So maybe a hack to fix this or to get to this kind of a framework is finding ways to realize that nobody does know, that nobody is above you, that nobody is like you, because you think other founders are at a different point. That's you're comparing yourself. Yeah. That's why you're struggling and stressing yourself out, realizing others don't.
That's right.
Or they didn't when they were in your shoes. Yeah. Or it doesn't fucking matter. Maybe they're ahead of you today and tomorrow they're going to be behind you.
Yeah.
Other people should not be the measuring stick. You just need to yourself. You need to compare yourself with yesterday's version of you. And if you're a better version of that, you're winning.
One of our values at Kissmetrics on paper is be better than yesterday.
Be better
for that reason, right? Yeah. It's like, dude, we all suck.
Yeah.
So we can only get better, right?
Yeah.
So I think whatever works for you to not feel so guilty for not knowing what you don't know.
How do you know if you have imposter syndrome? So some people might be self-aware enough, and we had an episode that's awesome about self-awareness.
Right.
We're going to start bundling these episodes because they are related. Some people will be self-aware and say, yes, I have this. I have this feeling. I'm aware of it, and I want to change it, or it makes me struggle, or makes me a worse version of myself. Here's another interesting question. How do I know if I work for somebody that has imposter syndrome? And does it matter? And do I have to do something about it or not?
Is there a compensation for being wrong appropriate?
Is there?
Are they compensating for being wrong? Because essentially imposter syndrome, if you take the framework of I'm always wrong, I'm just trying to get more right, when they compensate for it. So that's like tuning it to be more right. Are they actually taking the right actions?
Mm.
Are they looking at the right data? Are they really figuring out why they're wrong? And are they trying to get right? Right? Are they really thinking about self-improvement? You know why? Like when I think about most of this, and it might just be like a very basic way to think about it, but like, man, like if I really don't know, then like I'm going to go figure out how to learn it, but then I'm going to run experiments to figure out if I'm right.
Yeah.
Or wrong.
Oh, wrong. Yeah.
Right? So it's like I would just take a problem of not knowing and turn it into one I learned from you, which is like the next logical step as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Pretty much learn 90% of that from you.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's great, but you just tune it towards thinking about that. For example, and I'm going to get right into the tips because I think this is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my tip is like go YouTube it. My kid can learn anything on YouTube. Go YouTube it.
Yeah.
Type it in YouTube.
Yeah.
Type it in Google. Be like, how do I raise money? Right? Like, I don't care what you do. Just start getting the knowledge, getting the information. It doesn't matter whether someone did it, didn't do it, or all that. At your fingertips is access to instructions if you're just paying attention, right? And if you read 5 things, 10 things, right, and you get good at like just being able to understand what's right for you based on it, that's all you got to do. Right? You don't have to pick. No, there's no right answer. It's just about how fast can I move towards getting the right answer? And more importantly, is this the right thing to work on? Is this the right problem?
I love it. So here's my tip on this. My tip is this is again a muscle that needs to be worked at.
Yeah.
And you know, so if somebody that doesn't know how to deal with this is asking me, how could I get instantly better at it? My advice would be, maybe what you want to do is you want to start off momentum in an area that's not as emotionally charged for you, where you can practice this muscle. So an example of this could be, what could be something small that you can do today that you don't know how to do and where you're going to be okay with doing something wrong, right? Even if it's something completely unrelated, like cook something you've never cooked before and just butcher it. Yeah. Don't even look at a recipe. Try to cook this. Try just try it. Just go to the grocery store and do your best and then guess it. Getting used
to
the feeling.
That's what it is.
Yes.
I like
get used to the feeling of, I'm kind of trying to do
set
this.
Set yourself up for failure?
Yes. But setting yourself up for failure in a not so risky situation with the purpose of both getting used to it, but also learning without ego. Like, if I try to cook a risotto and I don't know how that works, and I just buy some rice and some wine and I go, I don't know exactly how this thing works. Getting used to still cooking it, taking action, failing at it in a way that's not really, consequential. But then also going, okay, this is what I learned about this.
Yeah.
And maybe let me look up YouTube how to cook risotto and tomorrow I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Look it up from
there.
Try without knowing how. Celebrate that tiny
be
little failure. Yeah, the comfort of like,
but
I really butchered this. Or be surprised that it didn't go as bad as you thought it would go, right? That can be like a nicely, you do this with little things and it can be a nice little metaphor that then can translate into more important things you do in life. All right, that's it from us. I'd love to hear thoughts on imposter syndrome on the Facebook group. If you're not part of it, thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. And we'll hear you guys very soon.
Bye.